Welcome to Prima's 2023 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Daniel Foster will discuss applying data-driven risk management. Daniel is a casualty loss control expert at Munich Re Specialty Insurance. We will also be joined by Prima's Education Coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Dan.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So to start, how is data having an impact on risk management?
So traditionally, risk management has taken the approach of looking at loss runs and addressing things from a regulatory compliance, so OSHA and other regulatory agencies, and building their loss control and risk management scope based around those things, without a whole lot of focus on what's actually happening that's driving loss. And so what we could talk about today is how data is making a huge impact and change on how we do our work here in the risk management scope. So today we've got an abundance of data to work with that we didn't have 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. There's so much more available now. And so we're able to see more clearly what's happening. We're able to get more granular and specific with what's driving loss, how to mitigate it or correct it, and how to measure it.
What are some of the sources of data a risk manager can utilize?
What's typically in our playbook as risk managers is loss data. We got loss runs, loss ratios. We get loss control reports that tell us what's happening in a specific workplace or environment. But also what's out there are industry benchmarks. So if we want to look at what's happening with driving or fleets, we've got a lot of industry-related data to tap into for that. Now also what's really common and expanding is workplace surveys, being able to get feedback from employees about specific things and the metrics that are out there to gather that make it a lot easier and more, it's easier to gather it and measure that as far as the workplace. And then a couple of things that have really grown recently in the past 10 years is biometrics. So in the area of ergonomics, we're able to hook an employee up with measuring devices that measure not just their movement, but heart rate, stress levels, muscle activity, and other variables that can help us identify what's going on with the body while it's in work mode. That is incredibly helpful if we're wanting to know more about how to prevent musculoskeletal injuries. And finally, an area that I work a lot in is called telematics, and that's the data that's gathered through vehicles, fleets, cars, and so forth. And it's not just measuring miles per gallon. It's measuring hard stops, yaw, which is the turning, hard turns, swift movements, lane changes, hard braking, acceleration, and so forth. And those are data points that we could use for coaching and other things to more specifically identify driving behavior and how to improve it, how to reduce accidents and catch bad behavior before it becomes a problem.
What are some of the benefits and cautions you have when applying data to risk management?
Well, I'll start with the cautions. Not all data matches the need. There's so much data out there now that it's easy, if we're not careful, to just take data sets and try to make a story out of it without verifying whether it matches the conditions. So the first thing that we need to do is whatever data we look at, we need to verify that it's accurate. And so that's the first step is it accurate? Has it been properly measured? We want to separate opinion, things that drive. We see a lot of this in society and culture where there's opinion polls and things like that. What we want to do is avoid those and really look at the things that tell the story related to loss and risk exposure more so than opinion. So that's the first thing we need to do is verify the accuracy of it to what we're trying to accomplish. And then we need to see if it correlates. Not all data matches. And so there's different data sets out there, and it may make us feel like it meets our need, but we have to go out and see if it correlates or connects. Does it actually match? Is it apples to apples? And if so, then we've got a data set that we could work with. And then when data aligns, it can be very powerful. And this is the benefit of it. When we find data that correlates with what we're trying to identify, what we're trying to accomplish, We can now tell the story more clearly. We get granular information on a specific thing, so it pinpoints the need that's out there. We're able to look at loss trends more clearly to see what's happened in the past, as well as where things are going. You know, graphing and charting and stuff like that is really helpful. And then the big thing that I love is we're able to measure change. If we implement something new today, can I come back in 6 months or a year and see if those changes I made are having a positive or negative impact or no change at all? And so that then supports whatever changes I make as a risk manager and justifies the expense or the time or the initiative of making those changes.
How have you applied data in your scope of work?
Well, I'll share a case study that I actually presented on at Prima, and it's on a workers' comp case where at the time I was managing workers' comp for school districts, and I started looking at the data. I had a robust history of 30 years of loss data, and as you can imagine, most of the loss data that I had to do with facilities workers or bus drivers and those injuries. But I started to notice a trend with injuries in the classroom with school teachers. So back in the day, you know, you'd hear paper cuts and bruises here and there, a teacher falling off a chair while putting up decorations. But these injuries were different. I was seeing bodily injury, bites, broken bones, eye socket fractures, concussions, and other types of injuries that were very traumatic. And so I spent time looking at why are these happening, and I'm starting to notice they're on the increase. And so as I started looking at those, I noticed that they were happening specifically in elementary age classrooms, and even more specifically, they were happening in classrooms where there were students with special needs. And so this led me down a journey to see what and talk with teachers to get more information. Why are you, what's happening, what's causing these injuries? What was happening was these students, which a lot of them were new to the social environment of a classroom, were manifesting behaviors that resulted in assaults and injuries to teachers. So we started looking at this. My job is to provide, you know, things to help prevent injuries to employees, which are my teachers. And so I found out this was not just isolated to my 15 school districts. This was actually a statewide issue, and many other school districts were experiencing the same thing. The end result was we were able to gather data, show that this trend was on the increase, not only here in the area where I was managing these, but nationwide. We were able to make the case to state officials, and we actually made some headway in changing some of the laws to give teachers more rights and protections and to put things in place in the classroom to prevent these injuries from happening. And so it was a real success where we were able to take data that normally would have been missed. If I would have done the traditional thing of just looking at past loss data and doing what we always do, ladder safety training, lifting training, I would have missed this opportunity to help a class of employees that I was responsible for providing safety and loss prevention for. So to me, that was a success story of something where we were able to take the data and it was powerful and useful in making change.
Where do you see risk management heading with regards to data and technology?
Well, in the world of risk management, there's a model that's called the risk maturity model, and it's on a scale of 1 to 5. And 1 is where you just kind of react to everything. You don't plan, you don't step into doing your job proactively or with planning or initiative. You just kind of react to things. I don't think most of us are there. I think we've evolved from that. But where I see it going is scaling across from that being 1 to 5, where across that path you see risk management implementing strategies and training and initiatives that are targeted towards loss, to where we get to 5. This is where we're going, which is predictive analytics. So on that risk maturity model, the 5 is predictive analytics, where we as risk managers, we are aware of the losses that we have in our past. We're aware of what the risk exposures are today, but we're looking towards where our loss is heading. And I compare it to what we see with weather forecasting. As we're getting into wintertime, think about how we're going to turn on the news to listen to the next snowstorm or winter storm that's coming, and we're going to prepare. And so I see us as risk managers moving into this role where we're able to use the data to help us identify future trends where we're going so that we can prepare our organizations for that coming loss trend, to prepare in advance for what's coming. And if we hedge it, we'll be ahead of things as far as efficiency, profitability, and reduction in losses.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.